Amen. Let's stand together tonight, please. And I'll tell you what, Brother Brady will quit smoking after that deal. You can't hold them verses that long no more, keep on smoking like that. Amen. I really ought to leave him alone. His wife come by me last night. She said, Brother Hazel, I just want you to know your message stunk. I just want to share that we've really enjoyed supporting that family. It's been a real blessing to us. And any missionary that needs what we've been giving them, you come see me. Amen. I want to mention real quickly that it's been a joy. These last few nights, one fellow asked me in the back, said, Brother Hazel, are you going to preach tonight? I said, Brother, if you can endure one more night, I said, Brother Tommy and Brother Joe will get here. Amen. And I said, I appreciate the opportunity. Boy, it's been good. I'll tell you what, I told Brother Stewart this morning. Now, you take what I'm saying, all right? Brother Musson, this is no reflection of him. He's still young, as far as I'm concerned. And he probably won't mind that. But is that what you asked me to say, preacher? Was that it? But this morning, you better cherish, if you were here, what you said under. Amen. And I told Brother Stewart, I don't know if I've, in a long time, just enjoyed church as much as I did this morning. I'm glad you got a heritage. Amen. Thank God for that. And it was just wonderful. And then the meals, lunch is good. I can't eat all the food. I watch y'all eat the chicken, and I'm trying to beat some people in my church losing some weight, and I refuse to lose at anything. If my mama and I were seeing who could jump out of a plane and get to the ground first, I'd make sure that I could get there quicker than she could. Amen. I'm just competitive. Some folks in my church have been trying to get their body in shape physically, lose some weight. They said, Preacher, you help us. And I got that verse, and I said, I'll do it. And so we've been trying to do that. And so I get to watch all that chicken. But I will say this, Brother Clark, Parkhead, he ate enough for me and him both. I want to mention a couple things real quick. First of all, I want to welcome some folk that are watching tonight. About an hour outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tonight, they're in West Virginia. And they are gathered tonight around a big TV screen with a lot of people tonight. They do not have a church near them like this church. So Dr. Turner and all you folks there watching this service tonight, we're glad to have you looking in from almost near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tonight. And I appreciate them looking in. And then I want to mention to you, Brother Stewart is going to be with us. You know how I love this older generation. And Brother Stewart's going to come help us do something. We started last year, not Brother Stewart, just stay with me, man. Y'all already laughing. But we do a senior adult conference at our church. We started it last year. Our senior adult pastor got a burden about it because I want to make sure that our young people do not forget the heritage, and we honor those that kept the lights on, that kept the Bible in front of us, that did things right. And on May the 8th at Calvary Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina, we'll have our second annual senior conference. Be going on. I'll get more information about that on our website. But Brother Stewart is going to be preaching that for us this year. We had several men last year, and we'd love to have you pastors to bring a group from your church of those senior adults. We call it Young at Heart because we try to get our 15-year-old folks up involved in it as well. So we call it Young at Heart. Am I doing something, guys? All that, amen. Is it Brother Tim? All right. But anyway, we'd love to have you get involved with it and be a real blessing to us. And so if you can, you get involved with us, and that'd be a real blessing. May the 8th, and Brother Stewart will be with us, and we look forward to that. One other thing I want to say real quickly. Friday morning, I'm going to have a young man with me, Timmy Belcher. I mentioned him the other night. Timmy's the young man, 14 years old, that God touched. And he's still finishing through some chemo. He'll come in with a toboggan on his head. He'll probably weigh about 88 pounds. But he'll be here Friday morning. And Brother Stewart and some of the young people asked me to do a message Friday morning that I preached in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at the Christian Youth Conference. It's a message entitled, "What is Your Life?" And I'll have Timmy to help me a little bit with that. But in that service, when I was preaching, there was about 700, 800 teenagers, all out of churches just like this or similar to this. And I was shocked. But when I gave the invitation and I asked how many teenagers in our fundamental churches in America have thought about, had planned suicide in their life, 100 teenagers raised their hand. I did not know in that service, Brother Fleming, but there was a young girl there that had already purchased razor blades, had already planned her death possibly that evening. Another lady knew about it but would not tell me, because they saw I'd have an outline printed and I sent it through their computer there, and they saw the outline come in. They knew what I was going to preach, but they wouldn't tell me. That young girl that night hit the altar. Went back and told those who she was with, handed her them the stuff she had purchased, and the next Sunday morning walked in my pulpit, does not go to our church, but come in my pulpit and gave her testimony of how God spared her life. So I would encourage, if you know any young people Friday morning, anyone that would like to come to the service, maybe it's not them, but they have friends, I want them to know their life is important. And they can be something for God. And so you pray for us. Brother Steele and I both have a burden for young people. And you pray that God would help us with that. All right? And thank you for being here tonight. I'm overwhelmed that I'm even allowed to stand here. Sister Stewart in the hallway today walked by me and did this. Look up here, man. We ain't praying. Look up here. I begged her to do that last night. She just looked at me like, "I'm Brother Ray Stewart's wife and you can't tell me nothing." Don't you love this family? Glad God's given me some heroes. I'm going to say this, and it won't get me in trouble because you're not going to vote me in anyway. Let me just say this tonight. If you had a problem with that man of God, I don't know how in the world you could ever get along with any man of God. If you go to this church and you have any problem with him, you say, he don't do everything like I want him to do. That's why God called him and not you. Amen. I'm not trying to meddle. I mean, I know great church, but Lord, have mercy. Thank God for what God's given you. The first family of Gateway is a blessing. And your assistant, associate pastor, burden for revival, great preacher, sings good. Just aggravates me, preachers that can sing. All four of them up here a while ago in that quartet sing good, good preach good as they sing. All four of them. That's not fair. And I have a problem with it. I've asked God to help me. Amen. Stinks. Brother Fleming. Several months ago, I was in a meeting at Skull Shoals Baptist Church. Brother Tim was nice enough to bring the young people to that meeting, son. I believe we shouted all over that building. And I had a message that God had given me, and I told Brother Tim I was not going to preach it until I got to Gateway. That night I was sitting there doing my best to hold on to it and hold on to it. And then the Holy Ghost said, "I want you to preach that." I said, "Lord, you don't want that." But I did. And I told Brother Tim, I said, Brother Tim, listen, I just feel like God gave me that for Gateway's Jubilee. And he said, well, just preach it there. And I said, man, I don't usually do that. You know, I just, y'all said, and he said, and then I got to thinking, how many times have I heard Brother Tim sing the same song? Ephesians chapter 3 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm like Peter said, Lord, it's good to be here. I get to go get my daughter tomorrow and bringing her back. She's 16, real pretty, kind of favors me. She'll be here tomorrow. She's my baby. I love her. We leave her mom at home. Her mom aggravates me. No, I'm just kidding. She's working in the office at church. Don't tell her I said that because they can't watch tonight. They're at church. You don't tell her I said that, Brother Mark. Okay, because I get in trouble. But I appreciate my daughter. It's a couple years ago, I was preaching in a youth conference, and I love seeing kids get saved. You would not believe the emails we got last night. You would not believe when I got back to the motel, teenagers that were watching this service last night. One little girl, I don't know who she was, sent me a deal. It's on a Facebook page. I don't even know who she was. A little girl sent me an email last night and said, Preacher, my life stinks, but I'm going to get over it. She's about 15 years old.
Oh yeah.
A few years ago, my daughter, I was in a meeting, and it got so wild that night. I'm telling you, it was down at Brother Joe's church, and it was a big youth conference, and it got so wild, we grabbed the flags, and there was about 700-800 people marching around the property singing Power in the Blood and Amazing Grace, and we just waving them flags, and he'd come back in the building, there were folks shouting everywhere, and my daughter's been around this all her life. She's been a preacher's kid. That don't make you saved, doesn't make you right with God. She was saved, but I've seen her around it a lot of times, but I've never seen it get on her. She got saved, I knew that, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Canaan. And I was standing on the platform, and I looked over to right. Brother Greg Lynch is one of my best friends in all this world. His daughter and my daughter were standing to the right. And for one of the first times I'd ever seen it, she wasn't just around it. My little girl had her hand up in the air, and she's a trembling and shaking through the other hand up in the air. She's a weeping, mascara running everywhere, mess running. And I looked at her, and buddy, I lost. I said, hallelujah. Canaan land, thank God. Amen. I like it. So I'm going to get her tomorrow, bring her down here, get her around it. I just hate, Brother Fleming, you got to leave, don't you? I want to get her picture made with you, but I don't know. We'll figure it out somehow, all right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14 tonight. Y'all pray for me now and ask God to help us. I want to preach tonight on a simple thought. I want to preach tonight on the family of God. The family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Ephesians 3 verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Look back up, if you would, at verse, I tell you what, let's go back and look at verse number 15. Well, the Bible says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Before you're seated tonight, I want you to take a look to your left, and I want you to take a look to your right, and I want you to look behind you. Would you do that right now? Just look to your left, look to your right, and look behind you. I realize tonight that all of the people that you're looking at right now may not go to the same local assembly that you do. They may not be part of the same local church that you are. But one of the great things about a meeting like this is whether we come from Tennessee or across the Mason-Dixon line or North Carolina and South Carolina or Pennsylvania or Indiana or wherever it may be, I'm glad tonight that when we get in this place and we gather in this building, we're a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad tonight to be a part of this crowd. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. I love it. I like it this way. Thank God I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Dr. Mercer, are you here tonight? If you are, wave your hand at me. I don't know that he's here tonight. He's been here two nights. I don't see a hand tonight in the balcony. He's the superintendent of your schools in Spartanburg. His sister comes to our church from West Virginia. And not his sister, his wife's sister. And he's here the last two nights. Hadn't been anything like this. And they sent me word today and said, man, they absolutely love it. He saved man, loves God. Wouldn't it be just like the Lord in this county? Hallelujah. Just walk on up through the leadership, get them full of God, introduce them to old time religion, and just pour the power on and the glory on. Friend, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God can do it again. Amen. Glad to be a part of the family of God. You might as well love me because I'm going to aggravate you for all eternity. Amen. Oh, by the way, just before you're seated, I won't be long. I promise, just a couple hours. Before you're seated, I want Brother Holcomb and all these guys that sung real good to know something. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a glorified body. It means I'm going to have a glorified voice. Now, I've already got me. I'm going to sing in a duo. And who I'm going to sing with? Fanny Crosby. We're going to sit down by the river of life. And I'm going to say, Miss Carpenter, you know that song, Blessed Assurance. Can I sing it with you? I'm going to sing one verse with tenor. I'm going to sing another verse with baritone. And then I'm going to go lower. Brother Holcomb ever thought about going on bass. Amen. And when y'all come by, I'm going to say, not this group. You wouldn't let me sing in yours. You ain't singing in mine. Amen. Father, thank you tonight. We're part of the family of God. Lord, bless this service. Help this preacher. Lord, I don't want to do anything but be a blessing to God's people. Lord, I want to thank you for what I've already felt this week. Lord, I'll be a better Christian because of this meeting. Thank you for what you've done, the new friends I've met. Lord, I thank you, God, for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You be seated. I want to give you three things tonight about the family of God. Once I give you those three things tonight, I'll get out of the way and we'll just enjoy the rest of the meeting. I want to give you three things tonight that are very important about the family of God. When God gave me this message, and I told Brother Holcomb, I preach a lot of them that God gave me, and I preach some of them that God gave somebody else, and then he gave them to me. Amen? But when God gave this message to me, I was preparing for a Father's Day service when God gave it to me. And God began to speak to my heart about this, and I pinned it down and typed it up on my laptop and printed it off and planned on using it and was going to use it even here. And then there in the meeting, we used it some months ago, And I want to share with you tonight about the family of God. Now, everyone in this building is a part of a natural family. Matter of fact, just a few weeks ago, I have this little girl in our church. She's coming on her buses. She's a teenager, and she's on fire for God. I mean, man, you talking about a touch of God, she's got it. She's on fire, loves God, all of her family lost. Nobody care about God. And the other week, I walked up front of the church, and I hugged my daughter. Didn't think nothing about it. I just hugged my daughter and got done, and we went out and sat down. One of my other teenagers come up to me, and the young girl's name is Star, was sitting beside of them. And Star sitting beside of the others, she's a black girl, just a great kid, a wonderful girl, loves God. And she's sitting there, and she tells the other girl, when she saw me hug my daughter, she said, "You know what? I wish my daddy sometime would hug me. I wish my family sometime would hug me like Preacher Chris just hugged his girl." Don't have that at home. Don't have that in her life. Hey, other kids sit out in front of us every Sunday. They have to step over drunks to get to their bedroom. They don't have a family like many of you have. Can I tell you this tonight? If you've got a good Christian family, a family that loves God, if you got a good heritage, Brian, y'all listen to me. Be thankful tonight that God's given you a papa like he has. Be thankful you got a heritage like you do. I'm glad I got a family, thank God, that loves the Lord. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm a part of that family. Amen. And Miss Star, when I heard she said that, I walked back to her. And I put my arm around her and I said, "Sweetheart, I love you." She said, "Preacher, I love you too." And I said, "I want you to know you're part of my family." I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, "Now, preacher, we look different." That's what she said. And I said, "Honey, we might look different, but I want you to know me and you are family." Amen. Amen. Saved by the grace of God. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't like that." Don't matter to me if you like it or not. Amen. It's still right. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now, I want you to notice three things tonight, and I'm just going to take off. You stay with me. Three things tonight about a family. If we're going to be a part of the family of God, we must, number one, have a family record. If you're going to be a part of a family, there must be a family record. It's got to be recorded somewhere that you are a part of the family that you are a part of. If you go to my home, or you go, I guess at my house now, my wife may have it, but we have what's known as a birth certificate. And it'll say on there that Christopher Thomas Hazlop was born to Tommy and Annie Hazlop on so-and-so date in Alamance County, so-and-so date, May the 8th, 1964 in Alamance County Hospital. In other words, there is a record of my birth. I began to think about the family of God and began to think about that record tonight. And I want you to think about this. The record is a birth certificate. In other words, you've got to produce a birth record in order to realize even you're a United States citizen. Now, I know you might have your TiVo set tonight to hear how America's going to get a whole lot better at about 9 o'clock, but I say you got to have a birth certificate if you're a part of the United States of America. Don't have a problem letting us know you are. If you're proud to be an American, honey, show that you are and have a birth certificate. Amen? But now watch this. The birth certificate is no more than a piece of paper. When it first starts, it's just a piece of paper. It has nothing on it but fill in the blanks. It's just a piece of paper. When you were born, before you got there, there was a piece of paper. But when you're born, they prepare for you coming into the world. They prepare for your birth. And when your birth comes, then that piece of paper changes form. A family record. What makes a birth certificate so important? Why is a birth certificate so necessary? Well, first of all, the birth certificate has signers. In other words, it's nothing unless the right person signs that certificate. In other words, if it's not signed by that doctor, if it's not signed by that physician, if it's not signed by the right person, then it is nothing. But when that doctor puts his name on it, when those witnesses put their name on it, then it becomes more than a piece of paper. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Hey, every single one of us in here, if we're saved by the grace of God, if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have a birth certificate. I'm glad my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody help me now. I'm glad my name's been recorded in heaven and it's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, Brother Chris, who signed it? Well, I'll read it to you. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They say the doctor has got to be present in order to know you were born so he can sign it. Other words, he's got to be there. And if he's not there, his signature is not real. Hey, watch this. When I got saved by the grace of God, I was halfway down the aisle in a Baptist church. Amen. Yes. I never got to the front. I hung out with the preacher's son. He and I both were as wicked as the devil. Lost. First time I was introduced to marijuana, and I'm not bragging about this, the first time I ever knew what marijuana was in my life as a teenager was in the parsonage of a Baptist church. You listen. And how it happened was a preacher's son wasn't right with God. And here I come along, and I was singing in the youth choir, but I was fake, and I wasn't right with God. And that preacher didn't know what we was doing down there. But his son later on got into drugs, became a drug dealer, almost got his mom and daddy killed because of it. And that preacher knew I wasn't right with God. On the Sunday night I got saved, God dealt with me. I was on the second row from the back. And I was sitting back there. Holy Ghost began to get a hold of me. And when God got a hold of me, Brother Frank was standing down front giving an invitation. And I stepped out in the very back of that church. When I stepped out in the back, Brother Frank, I'll never forget, he's in heaven now. He looked at me, never moved. And I saw him whisper the word, hallelujah. That's all he did. He saw me stepping out. Knew I was under conviction. I would come down the aisle. I couldn't even make it all the way. I'm not kidding you. About halfway down the aisle, all of a sudden, I didn't pray no long prayer. I didn't know how to quote nothing, but I said, God, save me. Amen. I'm a sinner. Amen. I got down to the front. Brother Frank's just standing there. He knows my life. He knows I don't live for God. He knows my life is a mess. And I get down to the front and I take his hand. Brother Frank said, Chris said, can I help you, son? And I said, yes, sir, Brother Frank. I want you to know I got saved. You ought to have seen the look on his face. Because he knew how I was living. He knew my life was a mess. He knew I wasn't living right. And I know in his mind he's thinking, that boy telling me he's saved, way he's been living. And then he asked the question. He said, Chris, when did you get saved? I said, Brother Frank, about halfway down that aisle, I called on God and God saved me. And by the way, I'm glad the Holy Ghost had a piece of paper. I'm glad my name was written down. I'm glad the Father was there and the Son was there and the Holy Ghost was there and it changed my life. You say, preacher, can you get saved halfway down the aisle? If I can't, please don't tell me. Huh? Because I've been banking on it, buddy, since I was 17. I'll never forget it. God changed my life. Got a birth certificate. Listen, we shout over a lot of stuff. But I wonder when's the last time you had yourself a good spell over your name being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Help me, would you? Would you help me? Hey, there might be a lot of things that the world can take away. Hey, my health might go, Brother Fleming. The money might go. A lot of other things might go. But there's one thing tonight that you cannot take from me. There's one thing tonight that I have. My name's been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm saved by the grace of God on my way to heaven.
You say, well, preacher, how do you know? I just present you my birth certificate. So who's it signed by? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The birth certificate's got to have a signer. It's got to be somebody was there. It's got credentials. You, brother, you ain't going to get in heaven because you wear suits and haircuts and carry a Bible. Won't get you there. You ain't going to get there in heaven. Hey, when I was lost, man, I could quote the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and almost could quote them backwards. I can't even do that now. And I was lost then. But can I tell you what? There is one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. I was lost, but now I see. Hallelujah, I'm glad tonight. I'm saved by the grace of God. And I ain't got over it yet. Hallelujah, I don't want to get over it. I'm glad tonight. I'm saved by the grace of God. We get excited about the dumbest things. Huh? Now I know I'm in South Carolina. I'm a big Tar Heel fan. Don't you get to run your mouth because we steal national champions if somebody else wins it. And don't worry about it, somebody else is going to. By the way, I was so proud of them Gamecocks last night. Kentucky, never mind. I know that's carnal, but you just pray for us weaker brethren. Hey, I'm amazed, man. My daughter and I, we'll go to some of the Carolina games. We get tickets on eBay, you know. We go and we sit way up on the nosebleed where the poor folks sit. And then if somebody ain't in their seat from the rich section, we'll sneak down there. But anyway, son, them people are coming out here, half face painted one color, half face painted the other color. They got all kinds of stuff on their head. I mean, they're screaming and they're hollering, they're screaming. They're having a time. You see that everywhere. But guess what? Some of that crowd's going to leave disappointed. Somebody's going to lose that night. And when they lose, they're going to go out and the old paint's still going to be there and the hair's still going to be there and they got all them colors on. But guess what? That didn't help. That team still lost. Guess what? When you got saved by the grace of God, that ought to put a shout inside of you. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. The victory has already been won. Amen. A family record. The birth certificate has to have signers. I'm glad, thank God, mine's been signed. Then the birth certificate is for signification. In other words, it's got to signify that you were born and who you belong to. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm a child of God. How about you? You excited about that? I'll tell you something happened a while back. Christians enjoying Jesus. A while back, we was out on visitation, knocking on doors on Saturday. Had a teenager with me. Was knocking on doors, and this woman opens the door. She opened the door. I said, ma'am, I had a teenager with me. Ma'am, I'm Pastor Chris Hayes from Calvary Baptist Church. That's all I got out. She said, I have you know I go to church. And I said, well, ma'am, you know, we have a lot of new people moving to the area and we canvass neighborhoods and try to get folk to come. And she said, well, I go to church. And she told me she went to the First Baptist, you know, and told me a little bit. And she just mad, you know. And I said, well, ma'am, the most important, I should have never done this to her. I said, the most important thing is not that you go to church, but do you know you're saved? Did you know you don't ask religious people that without them getting about half tore up? She looked at me and she said, I have you know, young man, that's a personal thing and you have no right to ask me that and I cannot believe you would ever ask me that. She said, looked at me, so help me now, Sister Paquette, she looked at me and said, I know I'm saved.
She closed the door. One of my teenagers was with me. One of my teenagers was with me. And I looked at that teenager with me. I said, you know what? There's two things I'm glad of today. So one thing I'm glad I'm saved. Another thing is I'm glad I'm not her pastor. Huh? Man, Brother Charles, I wasn't no Jehovah Witness. I wasn't no Mormon. I wasn't no Mooses and the Gooses. Man, I was a born-again child of God. Hey, watch this now. Hey. You help me, son. Don't just look at me. Hey, you come to my church. You come to my house. And you knock on my door. And you say, I'm from so-and-so Baptist church. I want to know if you're saved. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get upset. We'll shout all over the yard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I know. Thank God I know. Now that I'm saved.
Amen.
Why saved folk act so mean? Huh? A whole lot of saved people is like that story I heard about a man on a desert island by himself, been stranded. They finally found him after years. When they found him, he had three huts all by himself. They said, sir, what do you need three huts for? He said, oh, I live in that one. He said, I go to church in that one. He said, I used to go to church in that other one over there. Some folk wouldn't be happy if Jesus was a pastor, amen? But can I tell you this? When it's all said and done, and honey, we leave out of here, ain't but one thing going to matter, and that's your name's been recorded in the last book of life. Is anybody excited tonight about being saved by the grace of God? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm excited about it. Now, Miss Stewart, you didn't do it again. Now, you can at least do that. Tell them you're glad to be saved. I'm going to stand right here, praise God, until you do it. She told him, hallelujah. Or either she said, he's a lunatic. I don't know which one was. Amen. The birth certificate must have signers. Secondly, the birth certificate has signification. Brother Clark, watch this. There's a third thing you got to have birth certificate for. The birth certificate must have services. In other words, you got to use it for something. Here's what I found out. Unless you have a birth certificate, you can't go to another country. You'll get that on the way home and go, whoop! Hey, watch this. When I went to get a passport to go do a mission trip over in St. Lucia in the West Indies, I had to take my birth certificate. My family did. 80 members of our church that went on a mission trip had to take their birth certificate. And when we went and did that, you have to take it. Why? Because they won't let you go to another country unless you had the real birth certificate. Guess what? Thank God when I leave here, I'm not going down the road. I'm not going somewhere else. Thank God I'm going to a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You say, preacher, how you going to get there? I got a birth certificate. Hallelujah. I'll go by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Got to have a family record. There's a second thing about the family of God. There's got to be some family resemblance. Listen. Oh no, he's going to talk about separation. Oh no, I knew Brother Stewart done it. He's done got that separation preacher. I'm going to say this without any reservation. I'm sick and tired of a gospel that doesn't change. Am I right about that? Lord, that sounds like Tommy Steele. Am I right about it? Amen. Hey, can I tell you this? When I got saved by the grace of God, my resemblance changed. Huh? Oh, I ain't talking about just outside. I'm not talking about haircuts and clothes. Though I do believe if you get saved by the grace of God, you will look different in the world. Am I right? Yeah, you look different in the world. You know what? We're a different crowd. Somebody said, well, y'all just kind of peculiar. You're exactly right. Somebody said, y'all kind of odd. You're exactly right. Honey, I'm a part of the family of God. I don't even belong down here. I'm just passing through. See my nose? It's kind of long. You know what my mama's got? Long nose. Some of my brothers got longer nose than I do. People say, oh, you look like your mama. It's because I'm part of her family. Sure. I resemble that. Right. Amen? Now, don't get quiet on me. I'm not going to go getting you upset. Don't get quiet. Just stay with me. I know where I'm at, and I know how to, I've been doing this long enough. No, I know. But I will tell you this. If you're saved by the grace of God, teenager, if you're saved by the grace of God, mom and daddy, you're going to look different than the world does. Huh? That's what's wrong with this modern day movement. Boy, they get everybody in and put everybody in the pew and everybody's going to heaven. Can I tell you right now, that's not the case. Only those that are born again by the power of God are going to go to heaven. And God starts on the inside and he changes you on the outside. Hallelujah, I'm glad I got some family resemblance. I was preaching that one time, had a lady come to me. She said, sir, I have you know that God looks at the heart. Now, I appreciate that. She's exactly right. I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? Yes, sir. I said, God needs saving? She said, well, no, God don't need saving. I said, folk need saving? I said, you need saving? Well, yeah. I said, can you see my heart? I said, ma'am, only thing you can see about me is the outside. I'm glad Brother Fleming said this morning, he didn't want to leave grumpy. That's why we have senior adult conference. We try to keep our senior adults happy and serving God. Our senior adults, we got senior adults run bus routes. We got senior adults help throughout our ministry. We got senior adults run routes to pick up children. In their 70s. It's because you get older, you don't have to quit on God. Look at the men we saw preach this morning. You know, hey, just pray God to fire you up real good. Help you go out in the glory. Brother Billy Canoy, when he leaving this world, said, Brother Joe, I want to leave, but I don't want to leave in the shallow end. I want to leave in the deep end. I want to leave what I've been around. I want to leave that way. Amen. Family resemblance. Amen. You ever notice, in a sense, a lot of us do look kind of the same. You know, now I know some of us are prettier. Yeah. And then some are uglier. And I wouldn't dare call a name. But you know what? You get around, look, you get around this crowd right here, there's a lot of resemblance. It is. Hey, you can be somewhere, can't you, Brother Charles, in a restaurant or something. If you get around folks who've been in good fundamental independent Baptist churches and churches that believe stand on the Word of God and live right and do, you can get around those people and just tell us a little something different. Now, I know Baptists ain't orange going to heaven. Everybody say by the blood is going to heaven. I understand that. But this is the crowd I'm around. I've been in places before and be somebody said from me and I knew it was a preacher. I've been in places before somewhere and I knew somebody just came from a good church. You can just tell it. You say, why? Because I'm telling you this. I believe you're part of the family. I believe with all my heart there'll be family resemblance. Amen. I mean, I believe a Christian boy will pull his pants up and tighten his belt. I had a pastor friend of mine was in a convenience store a while back, and this boy was trying to get him a drink out of one of the machines where he put the ice in the drink, and he couldn't get the drink because his britches kept falling down. I kid you not, it's a friend of mine's evangelist. He walked over to the boy, never met him in his life. He said, son, I'll hold your britches up if you need me to just so you can get that drink. I promise exactly what he did. Amen. Hey, girls, if you're a Christian young lady, you resemble something. You're different. You don't look like the world. You don't try to entice them. You're a holy child of God. You're saving yourself for one day to walk down an aisle and make some man happy and serve God. You resemble Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Got to have family resemblance. Brother Stewart, I think we look alike. We do. We both got feet. He is prettier than I am. To be honest, we 10 times sweeter. But I'll tell you, get to heaven, a lot of stuff changing. Seeing good, sweeter, all's changing. Amen. First of all, there must be a family record. Second of all, there must be family resemblance. Thirdly, if you're part of a family, there's got to be a family reunion. I buried my daddy, preached his funeral. Some of y'all have heard my testimony about that. Only time as a preacher I ever looked at God. Brother Holcomb, I looked at God kneeling in the woods side of a tree and said, I can't do it. Only time I've ever done that. I'll never forget, Brother Stewart, you've heard my testimony. I'll never forget it. I was kneeling down beside an old tree, laying in the woods. My daddy just died, or just getting ready to die. He hadn't died. I was going to the hospital. They called our family in. And I'll never forget getting down those woods, a little path out in the woods behind the house. I got down beside the tree out there. Never thought I'd ever say these words. I've been preaching a good while. My daddy got right with the Lord. Never thought I'd ever say it. And I said, God, I can't do it. I said, God, my little mama sitting beside his bed, been married to him 51 years. She's a weeping and crying. My dad's coming a foot off the bed. He's got emphysema. He's about to die. Can't hardly get his breath. He's shaking. I said, God, I can't do it. Some of y'all heard me tell it. Said, I can't do it. I'll never forget. You take his for what it's worth. I'll never forget it. Brother Stewart, you've heard me tell it many times. You know, I'm telling the record right. Never forget it. I was kneeling down praying, and I thought the dog or my wife or somebody had come up behind me in the woods. I could sense a presence. I mean, literally that real. You know, have you ever felt like somebody just walked up, somebody's around? I sensed that presence. I've never had this happen one time in my life of all the times. I understand what it means by he'll give more grace. But I'll never forget it. Brother Mark, come here. Can you just kneel down right here, buddy? It's like you're praying. I'll never forget this. But I felt just like this, Brother Holcomb. I felt like two arms just held me. I'm telling you, there was nothing physical. I turned around, I didn't see a thing. But I knew. Yeah. Buddy, I could feel them arms of God. Thank you, Brother Mark. Let me tell you this. I went to that hospital, held my daddy's hand, he left the last breath and left, and he did. My mama had a heart attack and went into the same intensive care my daddy just came out of. I'm a mama's boy. Don't make your sissy be a mama's boy. I was a mama. I'm a mama's boy. She turns, matter of fact, Saturday, if the snow don't snow us out and I can get there, is her 85th birthday, and I'm going down to the fish house to eat with her. My brother's in Burlington. We'll leave here on Friday night, getting down. I'm going to go to her house on Saturday if we don't get snowed out. But don't you listen. She had a heart attack right there in the room. Daddy died. She's on a stretcher going to the same intensive care. Some of y'all heard me tell the story. I walked in the intensive care, and when I walked in intensive care, I heard something I never heard before, Brother Stewart. You've heard me tell. Never heard. I heard Amazing Grace being sung in the intensive care of the hospital. I walk around the corner. I'm a pastor. Some of the people said, preacher, we're sorry about your dad. They knew me from visiting other folks in the hospital, families. And I turn the corner, and my mama is laying on the bed. And there's a little nurse standing beside her singing Amazing Grace, and my mama's hands just like this. Long story short, she got better. I preached the funeral. She sat on the front row. We got done and we went to the graveside. At the graveside, the casket was laying there. One of my men read some scripture. I prayed. I walked by my daddy's casket and I tapped it. Now, I know, theologically, I know, absent for the body, present with the Lord, but the only daddy I ever knew was laying in that thing. That's what he looked like right there. I walked by that casket, and the only thing I ever said was, see you later. Hey! I walked out of that graveyard with my head held high. I had tears running down my face, but I knew one thing. I knew where my daddy was. I knew one day there is coming a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Thank God, every single one of you right now, you're waiting on a family reunion, and it ain't going to be long. We're going to step out of here and step over there. What a day that's going to be. Some of you thinking about a precious mama. Some of you thinking about a daddy. Some of you thinking about a brother, a sister, or maybe even a child. What a day that's going to be. And every family reunion's got to have food, and we'll even have that too. And what a waiter are we going to have. The Lord himself. Family reunion. There's three things you go to family reunion, but I'm not going to preach them, give them to you, and I'm done. Three things you go to a family reunion for. One of them, you go to reunite. That's going to be, I'm telling you. Man, I got a papa that loved God. A mama that loved God. I've got a brother I've never met. He died of pneumonia before I was born. Never met him. Dad. Another thing you go to family reunions for is to reflect, just to look back on how good God's been. I don't know how much we'll, I don't think we'll know, have to worry about down here. But it'd be good just to sit down by the river of life. And you know what the third thing you go to in reunion for, we like to do it in our family, we go to rejoice. I enjoy this. It's just one of my things I just enjoy. And I'm done with this. I get around a whole lot of people a lot of times that don't understand shouting, praising God, being happy. And a lot of them don't realize what they're missing out on. You know, stuff like this, a lot of people think you're crazy, man. Yeah, y'all done lost y'all's mind. A couple of them fellas running around the building this morning. What are they running around the building? You know? I mean, that's the same crowd that gets all tore up when Fifi dies. You know what I'm saying? Just run, you know, running. They just running around the building, you know. Think you're crazy. Now, there's a lot of folk go to heaven that are saved that could enjoy it a whole lot more. There are some people who won't come to Calvary Baptist Church, and why? It scares them. I mean, there's been a few times I lost half the choir in the middle of a service. Choir be singing for I know it, the tenor section is running down the side. You just keep on digging, you know. It don't matter by then anyway if you hit a note. Of course, them boys can't really hit a real good note anyway, so. I like to hide. When I get to heaven, I told people, I'd love to just be sitting over in the corner watching them get there. Can you see some of them, they'll see a mama they ain't seen in 40 years. Where's mama? Oh, man. It's good to see you, Mom. Here's a grandpa over here, ate up with cancer, left out of this world, ate up with cancer. Well, there's Grandpa. So good to see you. You ain't gonna act like that, are you? Oh, you don't mess with me now, see? Next thing you know, you look over there. That's Jesus. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Just want you to know I appreciate that blood. That was nice of you. Be sure to tell God. I appreciate everything you did for me. Go over here in my mansion now. I don't believe that it'll be like that. I'm gonna be over there. I'm going to be over there in the corner. Come here. Come here. What's your name?
Sam.
Sam, I am. What's your name? Clayton.
Clayton?
Boy, that's a country boy name. Come out of here. Sam and Clayton. Hey, man. You. Hey, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. You got a mom and daddy go to this church? You got family here?
Yeah.
Do that. Where they at? Wave a few of her. Is she loud at home? You're going to have to be loud. Come here. Don't you get quiet because they know how you act at home. Right? Come here, Brian. I know you got a lot of mouth. Come here. I've heard you hit them high notes. I've heard you hit them high notes. Now, when I tell you, stand right here. Now listen, I mean, everybody's looking at you. Think about this. There are people in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, looking at you right now. Y'all wave at them, sir. And I want you to watch. In a minute, I'm going to hide over here, okay? Y'all don't know where I'm at. And I'm going to tell you, you just got to heaven. You got it? And when I tell you, you just got to heaven, Sam, you listen to me, son? You see some girl, something, son, or you listen to me? Watch. I'm gonna tell you. You hear me, tell me, Bubba? I'm going to say you just got to heaven. When I do that, I want you to scream and holler, hallelujah, glory to God. I want you to shout. You understand? Would y'all pray for him right now? Because he don't know what I do to people that don't participate. You hear me? Who is it? Who? Right here? No. No. Brother Hazel ain't going there, all right? Now look, I'm going over here. You ready? Remember that crowd I just told you? You don't want to be like that, do you? Huh? Now I'm going over here and I'm going to hide. And I'm going to say, you got to heaven, you're in heaven. You better do right. Y'all make sure to do right because I got to hide. You ready? Y'all come on. I don't bother y'all. Y'all come on. It's good to have y'all with us tonight. Always enjoy having visitors. You just got to heaven. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Brother Mustin, come help them, will you? Come help them. Come help them, preacher. Oh, Lord, Brother Sergeant. Will you help them? All right. I can't get down but twice now. My knees won't. This has got to be it. That first one was a take. This is real deal. You just got to have it. And I'm gonna holler, I told you, honey, I ain't gonna wait to heaven to do my shouting. I'm gonna shout right now. I'm gonna praise God right now. Thank God I'm glad I'm saved. I'm gonna shout right now.